Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. Hey, I'm looking forward to our time here in the next few moments, and I'm going to look at my clock so that we can make sure this video is right around 12 to 15 minutes. It went a little long the last couple of weeks, but we were in some great transition. In fact, I'm up in Newtown, Connecticut, here in Pastor Adam Frederick's office, and so I hope you like the backdrop. Certainly looks a lot better than the corner of my office at home, which has not been fixed up yet, so you bear with us. We're getting to where our videos at home will have some nice character to them again, but we're thankful to be with you. And of course, always to express the desire and heart of these videos is to, number one, help you to begin to have a more tangible and real relationship with God, where your heart is open and your mind is open to God becoming more involved in your life, interaction with God. In fact, you could say prayer is number one, interaction with God, interaction, talking, communicating, not a monologue, but a dialogue. And so number one, God becoming real to your life. Number two, faith is so much easier when something is very real to you. And so that is our idea, that God being real to you. Actually, it's not our idea, but it's God's idea that salvation was to be very real and tangible. And so faith would become a normal byproduct of just trusting in the person that you've gotten to know. And number three, of course, having answers to your prayers, you're going to have testimonies. And testimonies are so wonderful to be able to share and reveal to each other what God is doing in our life. We got some real fun testimonies, or grace experiences, we call them. Grace meaning God's influence in your life. Experiences of God influencing your life. And so as we start each session, I'm going to do so again with Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 to 30, which says, "And Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say." This is a unique father and son operation coming out of father and son intimacies. "No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly." What an invitation from our Lord and Savior that we can develop a relationship with God our Father in the same manner that Jesus did, and actually expect the same kind of tangibility and results that come from that kind of relationship as Jesus had as he walked on the earth and as he is even now. So as we get into some more of the truth, this is a little bit more of doctrine here that we're going to share with you, but necessary platforms for you to have an expectation of why God should be real to you because of what Jesus has done for you. Each week, the material that we share will vary a little bit from just talking straight about how to connect with God to the information that we're going to share today, which is information about what Jesus has done that gives us a platform for our expectation, and on and on and on it'll go. And we'll have a lot of information as we come up in weeks coming that we'll share about how the world spins and the world that we're living in that has influenced us more than we know. And that influence becomes a hindrance to the relationship with the Lord. So we're going to start here with just the law of Genesis, how things perpetuate, because we know the law of Genesis was all about reproducing after your own kind. And if our own kind, meaning the way we've been taught, the way we've been schooled, the mentality of the world reproduces after its own kind, then we're in a constant struggle to experience God because we're actually going the wrong direction than we are to find him. That's one of the biggest things you've got to know is, in order to find God, you really have to let go of the life and the world as you know it. Does it mean you can't do some fun things and participate in some fun activities? Absolutely not. But it means that you lose the value and importance that we have given to the life that we know so that we can find the life that we don't know. That just makes really good common sense. So Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 3, it says, "And followed the impulses of the imagination of our evil nature." Well, just for a second, chapter 2, 1 through 3, in the book of Ephesians. I'm going to go there right now in the Passion Translation, Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 3. And it says, "And his fullness fills you, even though you were once like corpses dead in your sins and offenses." It wasn't that long ago that you lived in the religion, customs, and values of this world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. The corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and desires of our self-life. We lived by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictated, living as rebellious children subject to God's wrath as it was. Well, the Phillips translation said we followed the impulses of our imagination of the evil nature. Blackwater's translation said we were motivated by the cravings of our unregenerate nature. Now, again, if this is how all of us, to some certain extent, depending on how long you were in the world before you were saved, learned particular patterns of life, where we yielded to the nature of our old nature, to our minds that were subject to that nature, then when you get born again, there has to be actually a revolt against that mindset so that we can see God and find God in everything that we do. Telling you these things are the reasons why you can begin to put up your hand to the things or the mannerisms of life that you knew and say, no, that's not the way that I live anymore. All this is necessary for conversion. So Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 in the Carpenter's translation said, "No covenant, no citizenship, no promises." See, this is how we used to live. And to be without promise means to be without hope. Nay, it means to be without God. Well, that's actually a great verse. It just shows us the life that we were living was without God, with no hope. And now God is in our life, and he wants to be real to our life, and he wants to shape us and mold us into this new existence until it literally becomes the most natural and the most normal thing for our life to be lived, where God is a part of it, and we are experiencing his influences instead of the world's. Let's go a little further. It says over here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to 18 in the Phillips translation, it says they are cut off from the life of God. Well, let's just look at that here in the King James for a second. Ephesians 4, 17 and 18. In fact, I'll give it to you first from the Passion Translation. It says, "So with the wisdom given to me from the Lord, I say, you should not live like the unbelievers around you who walk in the emptiness of delusion. Their corrupted logic has been clouded because their hearts are so far from God. Their blinded understanding and deep-seated moral darkness keeps them from the true knowledge of God." Well, we see what it said in the Phillips translation, which is what? They are cut off from the life of God. You see, the direction of the world is to cut you right off from the very Zoe life. What does Zoe life mean? It means the very quality and substance of God's life himself. It means life in the absolute sense, meaning absolutely 100% pure God in your life. You don't think with the 100% pure God in your life that you'll actually experience God himself. That's what is normal. But what counteracts that? It's the lifestyle of the world that we're living in, and people are literally by the droves living the lifestyle of the world where their minds are darkened, where their hearts are perverted, and where they literally alienate themselves from the presence, the life, the prayers, the influence of God. I think this is making sense here. So we look then in the doctrine of this truth to answers to this type of lifestyle. If this is what we are all in, who can save us? Who can help us? And of course, we know that John 14, 6 says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man will come to the Father except through him. So finding things through Christ is your only hope of changing directions. And changing directions from not getting to California while you've been going there for 10 years means you're on the wrong road. Changing directions is your only hope to actually finding your destination. And this is really important to the whole message of Adventures in Grace. Jesus was trying to tell us, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Well, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. In other words, you've been headed down a path of religion and tradition that's gotten you nowhere, and yet you still want to cling to your religion and tradition, yet it's actually not helped you. Now, it might sound good in principle, but you're not actually experiencing God. Well, this is why we're doing these videos, to undo, if you will, to unwrap that package and to actually find God. Okay, so Romans chapter 5, verse 15 in the Barclay translation is really good. It says, by one man's sin, the whole of mankind was involved in death. That's the law of Genesis. You reproduce after your own kind. But the grace of God and the free gift, which came through the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, came in a far greater flood tide of power to all mankind. So right here, we've got to look at the world, and as effective as the world is in dumbing down our expectations for God, influencing us for the negativity, not helping us to experience that we are a spirit connected to God, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The scriptures here show us that the work that Jesus did is so far beyond the work of sin. And we already know the strength of sin. The strength of sin is the law, of course. The sting, praise the Lord, that we know that Jesus talked about through the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is really good. The power of God's grace far outshines the power of sin and the negativity of this world, that you really do have hope to come out and experience God. Everyone, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I like to say it this way, greater is he that's in you than you. The greatest part of you is the bigness of God that lives in you. And the bigness of God through the grace of Jesus Christ is so far beyond anything that this world has ever done, even though it looks like the world is winning. Come on, everybody. Even though it looks like the world is winning, what's living inside of you and the work of Calvary on your behalf through Christ is so far greater. You've got hope to experience answers to your prayers, to be influenced by God every day, and to actually have the ability to tell people of your testimonies. Wow, this is really good. Well, let's just think for a moment. Why did the Son of God have to become a man, have to become a human being? And the answer is the word substitution. So I'm going to read to you what substitution means, because this is a huge part of the reason why I have such great confidence in my relationship with Jesus. Substitution is the action of replacing someone or something with someone or something else. Not real deep. One who takes the place or acts in lieu of another. So Jesus had to come in our place to take on humanity as God, to limit himself from acting as God and come into the human body and live in the consciousness of a human, and therefore develop the authority, the relationship, and the ability to connect with God and supersede the laws of sin and death in the earth. Very simply, what that means is to recapture the authority and place that God gave Adam before there ever was sin. He had to do this on our behalf to be able to redeem us or give us the opportunity that in this lifetime we have the hope of living beyond sin and in connection with God. If Christ hadn't done it, no other human was going to do it, because we were living in the law of Genesis, where we were perpetuating sinful mankind, sinful human beings who were more given to the world of negativity than they were to the world of God, who were lost in the wisdom of man, not even knowing that they were spiritual beings and had the right to connect with God. Wow, this is really, really good. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and stop right here and come back with an amazing scripture in Romans chapter 4, verse 25. But before I do, well, there's just been so many great stories happening that it's just been super, super fun. So one today was really, really fun. I was preaching today and talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost here in a morning session. And one of the ladies came up to me and just so fun, because in the middle of talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and God becoming real, I was sharing to you that the devil really places bets on us. In other words, he's a betting person. He bets based on your past record, that when the pressure is on, you're going to cave and go right back to the way that man does things instead of trusting God right to the end and watching God come to pass or fulfill his promises in your life. I said, as long as he's like that, I said, one of the songs I think that best describes Christianity is Willie Nelson, when he sings, you got to know when to hold him, you got to know when to fold him, you got to know when to walk away. Excuse me, that's Kenny Rogers. That's Kenny Rogers. Okay, I'm glad I cleared that up, because I would have been having more emails based on me giving you the wrong country artist that I'm able to get out of you to share your grace stories. Come on, we want those stories, folks. I don't care how insignificant you may think they are. We want those stories, because everybody as an individual with God has their own personal way of experiencing him, which will enlighten and encourage everyone else who may not have thought of having that type of answer. So you got to know when to hold him, you got to know when to fold him. You say, what's so big about that? Well, I was preaching about that, and after the sermon, this dear lady came up. Actually, she's a lawyer here in town and has a wonderful practice. And she came up and she shared this. She tapped me on the shoulder and said, you will not believe this, but in the last week, I have many times been singing, you got to know when to hold him, you got to know when to fold him. She said, when you said that, it's like I almost fell out of my chair. Which to her was just one simple little, no, it wasn't just a coincidence. No, she wasn't just having a lucky day. Oh my, look at how God is just so nice to say. No, it was a grace experience of God showing her how she is connected and how he is actually influencing her life, even in the smallest things of singing a song during the week. And now the preacher gets up and preaches on it, and she realizes there was some continuity to that song being sung attached to the Holy Ghost, who's leading her and guiding her, because it's the same Holy Spirit that brought Jesus out of the grave, and the same Holy Ghost that will reveal to her heart how to get in and out of every single difficulty of life, where she has answers and has testimonies. You gotta love the way that God influences us, and if you really want to see it and want to experience it, you'll begin to see it everywhere. Well, you know, you can go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us, or you can go over to our YouTube channel called Adventures in Grace and subscribe. But especially, we want you to go to jhmi@jimhockaday.com, our email address, and we want you to email your testimonies of your grace stories. So far, we've not been able to really encourage you to do that, and yet I know that there's tons of stories out there. So I really am pulling on you to bring those stories so that we can share them and just increase our realm, you could say our influence of our mind to think bigger. Now, if you want to know where you can find that email again, I won't quote it again, but you can just simply go to jimhockaday.com to the website, click the contact page, and you'll find our email. Email us and let us know how God is touching your life. Until next time, God bless you guys. We'll see you again.